This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
1320 WILS, I'm Michael Cohen. Great to have you here. 56 right now, so nice. Tomorrow, a high of 53, getting down to 31. It will remain cloudy, and then Wednesday we have sun. A full day of sun on Wednesday, high of 50, low of 33. Not bad. We're in a decent range, so the bitter cold is, I think, officially behind us now. Just a matter of getting back into the 60s. So, of course, last week it didn't happen. The vote on the American Health Care Act did not occur, meaning that the Affordable Care Act is the law of the land. President Trump says the entire thing is going to fall apart, implode on itself if we don't address it. Is that what we're facing? Let's ask Danny O'Connell, a health insurance expert, a man that has been involved in the industry for many years. He's with Next Level Insurance, nextlevel.agency is where you can find him online. Hey, Danny, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, were you a fan of the American Health Care Act?
You know, it wasn't going to relieve all of the issues that we had, but there were certainly some things in there that were positives that were going to help lower costs.
Like what?
I think more than anything, it was a step in the right direction.
What was the best step it would have taken?
So there were two things I thought were really good. One of them was it started to ease or relax the rate banding issue that the Affordable Care Act brought in, to where the Affordable Care Act drove up prices for people from age 25 to 35 and 40. Mm-hmm. With this completely arbitrary rate banding system where politicians said, well, nobody should pay more than three times, you know, what another person pays for their health insurance.
Okay, so basically older, sicker patients or customers were getting a better deal, is that it?
Well, it was a great soundbite to get elected on, and I guess they thought, well, if a 25-year-old's paying $150 a month, it only costs $450 then, for a 60-year-old. But in reality, the majority of people that are signing up for health insurance are the ones with health issues. Yeah. So that made individuals, if it cost $1,000 a month for a 64-year-old, now that 25-year-old was, you know, having to pay $333.
Okay.
So, now, it's kind of averaged out.
Okay.
And so in the AHCA, they started to relax that, and they were going to go to a 3-to-1 to a 5-to-1. So, again, if it costs $1,000 for a 64-year-old, now that 25-year-old is going to cost $200 instead of $333.
So the argument, though, that this approach would increase the cost for older Americans with insurance, is that accurate?
Well, there was nothing, and there's still yet to be anything that really curbs the cost of health insurance. And that's the problem, is the cause and effect relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, until you get everybody around the table and these hospital systems around to come in and actually start putting in cost controls, you know, the insurance is going to continue to go up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who's most to blame for the high cost, would you say?
There's plenty of blame to go around. I can talk from my own personal experience. You know, I have four children. And so our oldest one, he was emergency C-section, born middle of the night, 5 weeks early, hospital bills, $15,000. At that time, a normal delivery was $5,000. Our last one, our fourth one, born not even 6 years later, same hospital, same doctors, walk in on time, scheduled, hospital bills, $35,000.
Now, when you get that kind of a bill, do you ask them to explain why?
Yeah, so I did, and I got frustrated because I actually counted when we were sitting in the room, and there were nine different doctors who came in to, quote-unquote, check on my wife, not counting her original doctor. A doctor would come in, look at the chart, walk out, not say two words, and we get a bill from it. And the hospital that we used in Dallas was actually one that was featured in the Time magazine article, A Bitter Pill to Swallow, back when the Affordable Care Act passed. And I confronted the hospital. I said, look, your CEO is in this article talking about how, you know, these bills are just the starting point for negotiation, but yet you say you refuse to negotiate.
Okay. So wait, were they basically ripping you off or the insurance companies off? Is that what it was?
There needs to be some cost controls put in place.
Okay. But I mean, you're talking about doctors walking in, walking right out, and that's thousands of dollars. That sounds like a ripoff to me. How would you describe it?
It seemed like they almost had a room back there. They just rang a bell and somebody come in and check in, and then, oh, we got another one, and then walk out. But, and that goes back to the more efficient practice of medicine. We don't need nine doctors walking in, oh, yeah, everything's okay, and then walking back out.
Did your insurance cover all that then?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good. Danny O'Connell with us. He's with Next Level Insurance. Danny, when President Trump says that the Affordable Care Act is just going to implode on itself if we don't do anything, is he right?
He is. And we knew that it would. The timetable was kind of 2020, and the reason why it may have moved up on some Americans certainly was we started to have these elections and people wanted to get reelected, so they kept delaying parts and they took parts out, thank God. Mm-hmm. But there are it will implode.
And why is that? What is it that's weighing it down so much?
There's so many things. The federal government said, okay, if you play by our rules, we'll create this bailout fund, but then we're not going to have any money in the bailout fund for you. Mm-hmm. You've limited Americans' ability to really pick and choose the right plan for them. Now, especially in the individual market, you really only have one and maybe a couple plans from another metallic level. So people are getting worse and worse coverage. Doctors don't want to accept it for a myriad of reasons, and they're right to do so. People can't afford the deductibles and the out-of-pockets on the system. So, great, I'm going to give you a plan for $50 a month, but you don't have $7,000, so you can go get treated.
So we saw the conservative Republicans basically saying no to this because they feel that there were still too many restrictions on policies, right? That we basically need to let insurance companies offer whatever they want. Do you agree with that?
Well, the challenge right now in the country, and there's pros to it as well, is that people on this health care bill, because they got to see it, we could sit there and debate it. But when you have other people on the other side of the aisle who want to have nothing to do with it and just blindly follow the Affordable Care Act, from that standpoint, they are going to go kicking and screaming against anything or any type of progress, typically. Mm-hmm. That's what we've seen. And so we need to sit down and really address the system and say, hey, look, what does work and what doesn't?
Is the insurance companies, are they overregulated in your view then?
There needs to be a relaxation of some of the regulations, certainly, so that Americans can start picking plans that are right for themselves and not be told you need to have these certain coverages if you don't need them.
The argument is, though, that's going to be much cheaper plans for young people, much more expensive plans for older people. Is that how it's going to go?
Well, so that's not how it was in the pre-ACA, but if you think about it, Michael, if I'm a higher utilizer, I should expect to pay more. If I'm somebody who doesn't use my health insurance, I shouldn't pay the same as somebody that uses it regularly. And that's part of the problem of why we haven't been able to get these young, healthy people in there, is because we're billing them as if they have a lot of health issues. So they're just saying, well, heck, I'm not going to sign up then.
They barely use it. You started talking about cost controls. How's that ever going to happen in your view?
You've got to get there's a number of different ways. There's a couple different ways. I mean, ideally, in a dream world, these hospitals and facilities really start to work to drive down costs. But what we've seen on the employer group side and what we've been doing is working with employers to create what's called a reference-based pricing reimbursement schedule. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it looks at a geographic area and it reimburses providers based on their usual fee that they would get from a PPO. Okay. There's a tremendous cost savings in the way you can build the plan, and we're seeing about a 25 to 33% savings versus other medically underwritten plans.
Why does it save so much money?
Yeah, so one, you don't have to, the carrier doesn't have to build or create a PPO network or rent one. It cuts down on the claims filing process, so it's not going through everything. It's almost like, in a simplistic form, just think about like a cash discount price. If you went into your doctor and said, hey, look, if I give you X amount of money for this, can we just cut a deal? And they say, okay, sounds good. And it looks at what they would typically get paid on average anyway. There's a lot more control put back, and you can save a lot of money that way.
How much of that is happening right now, though?
So for larger companies, this concept actually really kind of started in Dallas, Texas, and there's a company here that does it for companies with 100 or more employees, but we have a couple now companies that are based in other states that are starting to do business in Texas that'll do it on smaller groups. Okay. This is definitely an emerging trend, and it was kind of the answer to a lot of the Hillary care fears.
What's your prediction? Are we going to see this healthcare issue addressed before the end of the year again?
It will come up. What people have to understand is whatever happens in D.C., it'll take about a year for the retail consumer, you know, the person buying health insurance, to actually see the effects of that. So a lot of people were, Trump got elected. What do you mean my renewal? I got a high renewal again. Well, you know, they've got to pass it in D.C., then the states have to interpret it, then the insurance companies have to refile. Mm-hmm. So that's where, you know, we are hoping for something by April 1st. So that we could see something by the end of the year actually go into effect.
Yeah, it's going to be a while. Danny O'Connell, health insurance expert. Find him at nextlevel.agency. That's online, nextlevel.agency. It's Danny O'Connell here on WILS. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you.